Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
The scripture reading is from the Old Testament, Joshua 24, verses 1 through 15, found on pages 267 to 268 of the Old Testament in your pew Bibles. Please read with me. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Cana and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in its midst. And afterwards I brought you out. When I brought your ancestors out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your ancestors with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. When they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did to Egypt. Afterwards, you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of Jordan. They fought with you, and I handed them over to you, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then King Balak, son of Zippor of Moab, set out to fight against Israel. He sent and invited Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore he blessed you, so I rescued you out of his hand. When you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, the citizens of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I handed them over to you. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove out before you the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns that you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord."
Now, I'm not going to ask you, because I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but you may have recognized the verse that we ended the scripture reading on from a little plaque above your couch. You may have a little plaque above your couch, and I'm not going to make you raise your hands for that because of what happens in the second part of the scripture reading. So just watch yourselves here as we read on. We're going to begin in verse 14, so we get a little bit of a running start on that wonderful verse. "Now choose this day whom you will serve, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We'll start at verse 14. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone like a plaque over the couch in the living room, and he set it up there under the oak in the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, "See, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you if you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away to their inheritances. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So don't raise your hand, but if you've got that plaque up above your couch in the living room, just be aware. Then Joshua goes on and he calls that a witness against you for those ways in which you don't live up to serving the Lord the way that you have committed to do. It serves as a reminder to us of the ways that we don't keep the promises that we make, the ways that we commit ourselves to God. Joshua takes and he sets up a stone as testimony that God cares whether we live faithfully, whether we live faithfully toward each other, and especially as we live toward those God calls us to side with, those who are without power, without status in our world. Joshua tells this story of freedom from slavery, that whole first passage that we read together about God leading the people up out of Egypt and into the land and driving out from before them the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Hivites, and I didn't get those in order, but they're all there, right? Joshua tells us the story of what God has done to lead us up out of slavery so that we can serve God alone. God cares about this. Joshua tells the story for the same reason that we gave our kids Bibles just a couple of minutes ago. He tells the story as a way of bearing witness to whom God is. And this is fraught territory because Joshua sets up this stone to remind us that our faithfulness matters. And when we give these Bibles to our kids, we know that they will also measure us and measure those stories against how we actually live. And so when we hand these books over and entrust these stories to our young ones, we know that we are also bearing witness against ourselves for the ways in which we don't live into those stories faithfully. So I have terrible news here. The news is that Joshua is right. Joshua is right that we cannot serve the Lord truly and faithfully. We are always going to screw this up. That's part of what I love about the Bible, that it is always honest with us about our unfaithfulness, that it always calls us to recognize the places where we have missed the mark and where those who have come before us in the faith have also missed the mark. Joshua reminds us of that in this dialogue that he has with the people when he says, "You can't serve the Lord. Don't commit to doing that." And the people say, "No, this is what's most important to us." And so Joshua puts a reminder for them, for us, so that when we turn this story of liberation and freedom and grace, when we turn that story into something else, when we turn that story into a way to oppress others, when we turn this story into a way to prop up our unfaithfulness rather than to hold our unfaithfulness to account, there's something there reminding us of who we have committed to be and whether or not we have lived up to that. But there's good news here too. The good news is that this story is about the freedom to serve the Lord alone. This is a story about God's faithfulness. Again and again, as Joshua told the story of God leading the people through the land, the story emphasized that it's God who did this. It's not that the people followed God so well. It took them 40 years to cross the Sinai. It is that God was faithful to them at every step along the way. God brought us here. We did not do this ourselves. And Joshua invites the people, if you're just serving God because you think that will avoid some kind of punishment, that's not quite the reason to serve God. We serve God because of what God has done for us and what it means to serve a God of freedom and grace in this world. We don't serve God so that we can take credit for what God has done for us. We serve God because we know that we are not ultimately the masters of our own lives. And so we serve God because God is the trustworthy one who can take control of our lives. But we have that choice. Joshua gives us that choice, and we have that choice again and again to choose who the master of our lives will be. Will it be Egypt? Will it be the gods and powers that those around us serve? Will it be the Lord who calls us into grace and justice for all people? God intends for us all to be free from serving anything except for God's loving purposes. And so we know that left to ourselves, we will serve ourselves. We will serve power over others. We will serve wealth and strength and status and security. But we also know that serving ourselves is ultimately destructive, that we are better with and for each other. And so God sets us free. God sets us free from serving ourselves and serving the forces of sin by claiming us in Jesus Christ. Joshua sets up this stone as a witness against us. But we gather every week around another symbol of witness against us. We gather every week around a cross. And we gather every week promising to serve God, knowing that in truth we can't do it. And it is the cross that shows us how deeply, how profoundly we can't do it. Whatever else the cross signifies, it points out to us the depth of human sinfulness. This cross that we gather around bears witness against us. And that's terrible news, and that's great news. It's terrible news because it reminds us of what we've always known is true, and it's fantastic news because it allows us to name what we have always known is true. And it does more. Because the cross doesn't just bear witness against us, but it also bears witness to God's faithfulness on our behalf. It shows us the extent that God goes to set us free from sin and all those forces that bind us into serving something other than God's love for this world. So it's just like the history that Joshua tells, although without the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Just like that story, the cross testifies that we didn't do any of this on our own. We didn't come into relationship with God on our own. We were brought into relationship with God. We are in relationship with God because that's who God is. And so, because the cross sets us free, we can start living into some of those promises that we make. Our little faltering promises to God that we know we won't always keep, we are still free to begin keeping them. And we can also live into God's steadfast promises to us and to the world through us. Today, with these Bibles, we pass along the story of those promises. We pass along these stories that another generation might learn them and take them in. And we trust that they're going to read that story in ways that challenge us. They're going to read that story in ways that call us out in the places that we have been unfaithful and that call us into faithfulness that we didn't even know we could be capable of. I pray that these young folks that we have given these Bibles to will also read this story and recognize the way that it shapes our lives, the ways that these stories form us as God's people, the ways that we bear witness to God's transforming work in the world. We bear witness to these stories when we help our neighbors get food on Thursday nights delivered by bicycle. We bear witness to God's transforming work when we take time to serve our neighbors at Habitat for Humanity. We bear witness to God's transforming work when we invest hours in feeding our neighbors here in town or sewing diapers for our neighbors elsewhere in the world. We bear witness to what God has done when we visit others with prayer and support when they most need it. We choose whom we will serve. We choose whom we will serve today and every day. Thanks be to God who sets us free to serve God and our neighbors in Christ's love. Amen. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.